We're turning again this morning to the Gospel by Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and this morning we're looking at verse 5. Matthew 5 verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." What a glorious beatitude, what a blessed promise. Again, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for every promise of thy precious word. We thank thee for these things which characterize the child of God. They are the attributes of those who have been born from above. They are the birthmarks of the redeemed. And we pray thee, O God, that these things may be seen in us as thy children, and that thou wilt so work in our lives that it may be so. And if there are those in this room this morning who have never been born of thee, may they realize that this is something that cannot be produced by nature. It can only be produced by the Spirit, and unless they're born of God, they will never know anything of inheriting the earth. So we look to thee and ask thee to graciously work in our midst. And for those who can't be with us, we just ask you to comfort them wherever they are. And there are those around the world who are going through difficult times. We ask on their behalf, O thou God of our praise, thou God of our salvation, grant them joy and peace in the midst of heartache, especially thy people who live in the parts where the hurricanes and the tornadoes have wreaked such destruction. So we just look to thee and thank thee that our hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me, who purchased my redemption on Calvary's tree. And help us, O God, to rejoice in this glorious hope continuously for Jesus' sake. Amen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The people to whom Christ ministered had great ideas of the kingdom. Their ideas were not only materialistic, their ideas were also militaristic, for they were looking for their Messiah who would come and would deliver them from the bondage of Rome and usher in the glorious kingdom that he's spoken of in places like Isaiah 11 and Isaiah chapter 35, and they were looking for this. But when our Lord, in his great message, which is kingdom indeed, a message of the kingdom, when he brought this message, this is just the opposite of their thinking. He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And we find that that was not only opposite of the thinking of the people of our Lord's day, but it's the opposite of the thinking of people in our day. Possession of the world given to the meek of all people. They're going to possess the world? That doesn't make any sense, does it? You see, the world thinks in terms of strength, of power, of ability, of self-assurance, and aggressiveness. The more you express yourself, the more you organize, the more you manifest your powers and ability, the more you are likely to succeed, and the more you're likely to get on. This is the very thing that Eliphaz the Temanite said to Job in Job chapter 22 and verse 8. This is the very thing he said to him. But you see, the Christian is in an altogether different world. And the difference is a difference of quality. He's a new man. The Christian is a new creation. The Christian belongs to an entirely different kingdom. Now, if you're not different from the world in this primary sense, If you're not any different, it tells all an awful lot about your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. You see, this beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, cuts across the thinking of the Christian church today. Today the tendency is to think in terms of fighting the world, fighting sin, and everything that is opposed to Christ by means of great organization. We need great organization. And if you have a big organization, then you can make an impact. And that's the thinking in the church today. So, you have a crop walk. And you organize a crop walk. And you get people to walk and people to pay for how many, so much for every mile that you walk. And then you have to have a couple offices to take care of the people who organize the crop walk and print the letters that go out and do all this. Organization is the thought of the day. Our Lord comes back and He says, blessed are the meek. And you know, God hasn't changed His mind. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, it is important to notice a number of things about meekness that are associated with meekness in the Word of God. And if we can put these things together, the things that are associated with meekness, then we can get an idea of what meekness is. First of all, meekness is linked with lowliness. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, that great verse that our Lord gave in invitation, we have to quote verse 28 with it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So we learn here that meekness and lowliness are associated in the life of the Lord. Then in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, where Paul calls upon the children of God to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they are called, in all lowliness and meekness. In other words, lowliness and meekness not only characterize the life of our Lord, but they are to characterize the life of the child of God, the walk of the child of God. We are to walk in all lowliness and meekness. But then second, meekness is associated with and cannot be divorced from gentleness. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And then speaking to his son in the faith, Titus, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, he tells Titus that he should not speak evil of any man, not to be a brawler, but gentle, showing meekness unto all men. So meekness and gentleness go together, and meekness and lowliness go together, and then meekness has to do with receiving the Word of God. In James chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, he tells us that we are to receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls. And this, receiving the Word with meekness, which saves the soul, is the opposite of the wrath of man, which worketh not the righteousness of God. That's in James chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. But there is connected with meekness a glorious promise. It is a glorious promise of guidance. Psalm 25, verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. Meekness is a glorious portion of the children of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now there's an orderly development of doctrine here in Matthew chapter 5. In the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Poverty of spirit is a sense of our insufficiency and nothingness, a realization of our unworthiness and unprofitableness. And that is the first thing that we learn when we learn anything of the gospel. That we do not have it in ourselves. If we're going to be saved, God must do it. We are poor in spirit. I cannot produce what God requires. And that leads to a mourning over our lost condition and a sorrowing because of the awful sins that we have committed against God. Now, meekness comes along in verse 5 as a byproduct of self-emptying and self-humiliation. You see, now there's a broken will and a broken heart before God. That's what these three Beatitudes are speaking about. A broken will and a broken heart before God. Meekness, friends, is not only the opposite of pride, but it is also the opposite of stubbornness. It is the opposite of fierceness and vengefulness. It's the opposite of that. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is the opposite of self-will toward God and of ill will toward man. Meekness is just the opposite. And it is so important that we recognize this. Now let us notice what meekness is not. We notice what meekness is. But let us notice what it is not. Meekness is not a natural quality. When our Lord said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," Matthew 5, verse 5, He was not talking about some natural quality which some people have. There are some people that are nice, and there are some people that are not so nice. I knew a man, I always called him Big John. He was a big fellow, and he was gruff. I never knew that man to say thank you. And I had done him some favors. I never knew that man to say thank you. You see, now there are other people that you do the least thing for them. They're filled with thanks. The one is nice and the other is gruff. But we're not talking about meekness. We're talking about something that's biological. And you can see something biological in dogs. There are some dogs that are nice. Now, if you want to meet a nice dog, I can tell you where to find one. You go out on Trail 5, and you can find Buffy. Buffy is a nice dog. You see, easy going. You see, then there are other dogs. You have to be very careful. Very careful. That's biological, friends. But when our Lord said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," He was not talking about something that's biological. He's talking about a product that comes through the ministration of the Spirit of God within. Meekness, friends, is compatible with great strength and great authority and great power. Never forget that. Meekness is compatible with great strength, great authority, great power. Meekness. Moses was the meekest man of all men on the face of the earth. And I'm not going to repeat myself because this came up in the Sunday school lesson this morning. I'm not going to say what I said about Moses. I plan to, but I'm not going to. So I'll talk about David. Two times in the Word of God, David said, Psalm 18, and again in 2 Samuel, or 1 Samuel chapter 22, and verse 36. I believe that's 2 Samuel, by the way. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 36. David said, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Oh, think of that text. "Thy gentleness hath made me great." David, the man who as a lad slew a lion that took a lamb from the flock. He wasn't afraid of the lion. He slew the lion. He delivered the lamb. David, the lad who was not afraid to walk into the valley of Elah and there be confronted by Goliath. And he slew the giant. There was great strength, but it was strength under control. And yet, when his enemy was in the cave with him, for King Saul had a desire to kill David, for he was so jealous of him. And there David and his men were in the cave. And King Saul came into the cave, and David, one of his men said, "Ah, this is a day that you were waiting for. All you need to do is take out your sword, or let me do it. I'll take care of your enemy." Oh no, David always recognized that King Saul was anointed by God. "I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Blessed are the meek." David had all the strength, power, but it was strength under control. Meekness, what a blessing. You see, the martyrs were weak, but they weren't meek. There's a big difference. It took great strength to face the enemy and know that you were going to be slain. When you read the 11th chapter of the Hebrews, and you read concerning those who subdued kingdoms, who were sawn asunder, who wrought righteousness, that took great strength, even though they were in a position of physical weakness. And that great strength was under control, for they were under the control of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Friends, when you come to meekness, and when we see its association with gentleness, with lowliness, and with receiving the engrafted word which is able to save our souls, we learn that there is a sevenfold character that is connected with meekness. And I want to go over these seven things with you. A man can never be meek until he has seen himself as a vile sinner before God. Here's where we all begin. Until we've seen ourselves as we really are before God, here's the first step. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm a vile sinner in the presence of God. The second thing is this. A meek man is not proud of himself. There's statements that go around today, "I deserve that." And it irks me through and through when I see that. "I deserve that." Friends, the only thing that we deserve from a holy God is to be justly thrown into the lake of fire. The only thing that keeps us out of the lake of fire is the long-suffering of God and the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross on behalf of poor sinners. The mercy and the grace of God. And a meek person is one who isn't proud of himself. The third characteristic of meekness is the meek person does not demand anything for himself. He doesn't demand anything for himself. Our Lord said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls." Remember that man who said to the Lord one day, "Lord, I'll follow you anywhere you go." The Lord turned and he said, "Now the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." You see, the meek person does not demand anything for himself. Now, when you read the Gospel of John chapter 1, you find one day two of John's disciples left John and started to follow the Lord. And the Lord turned around and he looked at them and he said, what do you want? And he said, "Where do you live?" And he said, "Come and see." And it says they abode with him that day. I've often wondered where they went. I've often wondered over that text, where did our Lord take them? I don't know, they abode with him that day. I don't know where he took them. But they came away different people. You see, the meek person does not demand anything for himself. The fourth characteristic of a meek person is this. The meek man does not take all his rights as claims. He does not make demands for his position, his privileges, his possessions, or his status in life. Oh, that cuts across the thinking of the day. It cuts across the thinking and the attitude of the modern idea in the church today. But our Lord says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The next characteristic is this. The meek person is like the person described in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, where we read, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a thing to be grasped at, to be on an equality with God, but he made himself of no reputation. That's a meek person. Our Lord could say, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. The sixth characteristic of a meek person, oh, get this one. The meek person no longer worries about what other people say. And you know, when I typed that on my notes here, I said to myself, Lord, I'm far from meek. If that's a characteristic that I'm going to say is a meek person, and you have to come to this conclusion. You see, in the book of Proverbs, we read, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And not to worry about what other people say, or to get to that place. And finally, to be meek means we do not protect ourselves because we realize that there is nothing worth defending. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. A.W. Tozer wrote a book on how to, or he wrote a tract on how to know the will of God. And one of the things he said on these tracts, he said, never defend yourself. And you see, that's what basically what that seventh characteristic is. Never defend yourself. He said, for two reasons. If you're wrong, you ought to change. And if we're ever wrong as a child of God, we shouldn't defend our being wrong. We should change. And he said, if you're right, leave it with the Lord. God will take care of it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. How different from the thinking of the world, and how different from the thinking of the church. But I want you to notice the results of meekness. Glorious result. Our Lord said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the inheritance of the earth is threefold. First of all, we inherit the earth spiritually. I read in the 37th Psalm, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You see, the believer enjoys what he has because he has been delivered from a greedy and grasping disposition. He is satisfied with the things that he has. Psalm 37 verse 16 says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. When God performs a work of regenerating grace in the heart, that the person is born of God, he delivers us from that grasping, greedy desire, and we become satisfied with the provisions that God has for us. This is a byproduct of being saved, friends. This is a birthmark of the redeemed. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So we inherit the earth spiritually. We're satisfied with our lot in life. Here's where God has placed me. And he hasn't given me what he's given others, but thank God that he's given it to them. He's given me everything I need. And more than I ever deserve. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. And they inherit the earth, first of all, spiritually. That spiritual inheritance. But second, they inherit the earth literally. As members of Christ, friends, it is our right, because he is the Lord of heaven and earth. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and because we are united to him in life, if it belongs to him, it belongs to us. We inherit the earth literally. Don't miss this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. Paul tells us what is really ours. He says, wherefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether the world, see there it is, the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. And we inherit the earth literally, because we are united to him who is the possessor of heaven and earth. You see, Abraham learned it after he came from the slaughter of the kings in Genesis chapter 14, and he met Melchizedek, who was a priest of the Most High God. And when the king of Sodom came out to make Abraham rich, Abraham says, I don't take anything from you. You don't have anything that you could give me that I want. He said, I wouldn't even take a shoe latchet. I lifted up my hand to the Lord of heaven and earth. And friends, when once we're in fellowship with the Lord of heaven and earth, we realize the result of this blessed promise. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we can say, as Paul did writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. But not only do we inherit the earth literally, and not only do we inherit the earth spiritually, but we inherit the earth mystically. Mystically. I like this. You see, we have the Old Testament promise of a glorious kingdom that is coming. And we have the New Testament meaning to that kingdom. The promise is, our Lord is going to come again. And when he returns again, the saints of the Most High are going to possess the kingdom. Now, if we can get that in our system, it will deliver us from a grasping for this present evil world. Galatians 1 verse 4 tells us that Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from Burlington, North Carolina. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. Deliverance from it. Why? Our Lord's coming. And my inheritance is there. Romans chapter 8 verse 17 tells us that if we're children or sons, then we are heirs and joint heirs with him. The Father says to the Son in the second Psalm, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And he tells me, you're my child. You're my child by divine grace. And I made you an heir and a joint heir with me. Friends, we inherit the earth mystically. Why? That word mystic is connected with the word mystery. And that which was formerly not known is now revealed. And in the New Testament, we have the full blown up revelation of all that the Old Testament scriptures talked about concerning the two advents of Christ, his suffering and his glory. And while we may not possess it now, Paul said, having nothing, yet possessing all things, it will be mine in due time. You want to know something? I can wait. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now there are four things I'd like to say in closing. Number one, there is value to this spiritual grace, and we need to pray for an increase of the same. We need to pray to be meek. Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3 in the Old Testament says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth." There's no one can say, "I've now arrived at meekness. Now I can quit." No, 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 never. None of us can say that. For the scripture says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness." Here's something we should seek as the children of God. Furthermore, there's a second thing. It is folly to seek earthly possessions apart from Christ. Now that may sound strange to you. Let me tell you why. Because the earth and all that is therein was lost in Adam. The earth passeth away and all the desires of it. And until you have Christ, no matter what your earthly possessions are, they don't mean anything. They can't buy you the most important thing. They can't buy you health. And most of all, they can't buy eternal life. So you may have a lot of wealth and be poverty stricken before God. On the other hand, you can be like the Apostle Paul, poor, and yet possess all things. Oh, give me that poverty of spirit and that meekness that enables me to realize what I really have in Christ. For that is what's important. There's a third thing. The fact that the meek shall inherit the earth, it should keep us from having an inordinate affection for this present evil world. The Word of God says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And there's one final thing. If you're saved this morning, you should be meek. If you're saved, you should be meek. If you're saved, you should be meek. You know why? Meekness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells his people. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 tells me that part of that ninefold cluster that makes up the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. You should be meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You should be meek. Who is the most approachable person in the world? Our Lord Jesus. Children weren't afraid to come to him. The lepers weren't afraid to go to him. The blind weren't afraid to go to him. He could say, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And that same Holy Spirit, whom he said he was going to send as that glorious comforter, indwells us, and he wants to bear fruit in our lives. And part of that fruit is meekness. When our Lord said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," he just wasn't speaking words. He was speaking reality. I think we should sing a hymn in closing. Two stanzas of number 629 in our hymn book. J.N. Darby wrote that great hymn. And is it so? I shall be like thy son. Is this the grace which he for me has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory too, his own blessed likeness draw. And that second stanza. Not I alone, thy loved ones all complete. I think that's the second stanza. But we'll sing the first and the second. Oh no, the second stanza says, O Jesus Lord, who loved me like to thee? Fruit of thy work with thee to there to see thy glory, Lord. Oh, here's the object of it all. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's stand together and sing, shall we?